Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, church. We are officially into the second month of the new year, and this year is filled with great possibilities. I'm genuinely excited about it. Now, ready or not, this new chapter is now upon us, where God can order our steps and prosper the path that's ahead of us. And so whatever good work he started in you, he's going to keep working that out this year as we walk in step with him. And whether you've had the best year of your life last year or the worst year of your life, he's still with you. He hasn't left you. The plan he has for your life is still in effect. And that plan is for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And because he's with you, he will see it through to its completion. And I know many of you want to move past some things from last year, but ahead of us lies the potential to do that, to move forward in all that he's called us to do. So I want to encourage you to make the best of all the resources that are developed here at the church to add value to your life. And one of them starts today, and that's our Next Steps class. Now, this is a four-week class with one-hour classes that takes place on and during the first service on Sunday, during each semester that we offer the class. And this is an excellent opportunity for you to discover your purpose, to find out more about who we are as a church and where we're headed, and to align ourselves on the same kind of trajectory where we're going together. And if you come to the first service, take the step one of the class, which is today, you can attend our second service with your family. And so as our church continues to grow, we're always updating and refreshing this material to prepare us for what's next. So if you're new to Calvary, if you've been a member for many years, this is a great class, again, for you to align yourself with where God's calling us all to go together. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish." Listen, a tree that isn't planted is never going to grow. So everything that we do here at Calvary is to help you grow in Christ. Our Big Wednesday started this week, something for the entire family, small groups and classes and teaching, our fireside prayer nights at the end of each month, and our Calvary small groups that take place throughout the week. This is where the life of the church takes place, where people are connecting through relationships with one another. So if you want more information on any of those things, hop over to calvary.ca. You'll get everything that you need and find it all there. And you know what? If you've been saying to yourself, I gotta do something with my life, I want it to make a difference, I want my life to count, then these resources are a great place for you to start. Listen, this is your church, so don't stand on the outside looking in. Lean into it. Step into it. We're so much better together. You know, my entire understanding of the call of God on my life started with a lady at a church that I attended when I was in my teens with my parents. She caught me in the hall, saw that I wasn't connecting or talking to anybody because I didn't know anybody at this church. And she invited me to a drama team meeting for a production the church was going to do. Now, I didn't know anything about drama. I didn't even know if I was interested in it or not, but she was persistent. And so I reluctantly said yes, and I came out to that meeting. But what I did when I came to that meeting was I moved from the outside into the life of the church. And honestly, I've never looked back. Church has become such a wonderful part of my life and my development as a disciple. It's something that I know that if you apply yourself and find a place to serve and give of your life, that you too will flourish. Your family will flourish. And when we get connected, that's when growth takes place. That's where all the good things start happening within our lives. We were all created to be a part of this great church that he has created. And you know what? Today, I hope you feel at home. Hope you feel at home here online or here in the house. We want to welcome you and make sure that each one of you, whether you're a first-time guest or you've been here forever, that everyone feels the strength of what family can be. Now, today, we're going to begin a new series called Rhythms, Finding Rest for Your Soul. Finding rest for your soul. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about knowing yourself, knowing your soul, your rhythms, how you live your life. And rhythms are everywhere. And God has a pattern for our lives to help us stay in lockstep with the Spirit. But we also know that if we're not careful, we can drift into destructive rhythms that lead us to a place where we're out of step with the Spirit. And the life of Jesus has always been an example for us on how to walk in harmony with the one who created us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow him." You see, Jesus' life had a certain pattern and a rhythm to it, of which you and I are called to be imitators. Now, when it comes to your soul, not everyone has a proper understanding of what that is. It's a little mysterious when it comes to what people know or don't know about it. But your soul has a greater influence on your life than you realize. And I think it's important that we all understand the practical dynamics and the elements that are related to it. Knowing what the soul is and how it works will hopefully kind of connect the dots in understanding yourself better. Having a healthy soul is key to being a healthy person. As a matter of fact, the word soul appears in the Bible 856 times. Now, when a word is mentioned that much, there's got to be a reason for it. It must be pretty important, so understanding it, I think, is critical. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, this is the Apostle John talking to a close friend, says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, I don't know about you, but I want that for my life. Kevin Gerald said this. He said, "The condition of your soul is the greatest influence on your life. If your soul is healthy and strong, you can get through anything." Listen, if you want healthy relationships, a healthy work life, a healthy love for God, then you need a healthy soul. And learning how to lead and feed and rest your soul will in the end protect you. Now, a foundational verse for this new series comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So if Jesus is offering rest for our souls, it must mean that our souls can get tired from time to time. See, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And at the center of who we are is our soul. As a matter of fact, quite often in Scripture, when it refers to our heart, it's talking about the center of who we are. Now, like your spirit, your soul is a part of your eternal self. Our bodies, in the end, are not going to make the cut for eternity. They someday will pass away. Right? So you don't have a soul, you are a soul. And it's an understanding of who we are. From dust, God created our bodies and brought us into existence, but then he breathed life into our spirit and our soul. That's who we are. That's how God made us. Now, Paul refers to our body as a tent, kind of like a temporary home that houses who we are before he breathed life into us. So your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, I think you'd agree that that's a significant part of who we are. And I think it's also a little easier to understand when you see it that way, how we can become tired. We become tired in our thinking. We become tired in our decision-making and in our feelings. Some people are like, I don't want to decide anything right now. I'm just exhausted. And when you ask them why, they can't even define it because it's something that even a long sleep in the afternoon is not going to solve. This is where the weariness builds up and those burdens in life start to weigh us down. And these are the parts of who Jesus wants to give us rest and to ease that burden that we're carrying around. And I think we can all agree that the world can be pretty exhausting sometimes when it comes to its demands and the trials that we experience. But God has a different way for his people, a spiritual rhythm that connects us to who he is. And as we stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, a spiritual rhythm begins to be a natural part of our life, integrating our relationship with God into every aspect of who we are, so that we can not only experience rest, but actually maintain it. Listen, there's no vacation long enough that is going to bring you rest in your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's a spiritual solution that only God can offer. Jesus lived that life that demonstrated that spiritual rhythm that we're talking about in this series that will help us find health and growth through worship, through our relationships, through our work, and through the rest that we need in him. So throughout this series, I'd like to touch on all of those things, but today we're going to touch on the significance of worship within our lives as it relates to finding that rest. Now, again, finding rest for our soul and maintaining it relies on the center of our lives being centered on him. In other words, coming closer to him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. I think sometimes we're waiting for God to do something and to make his move to give us rest. But God has already made his move. It was a huge move. He sent his son to die on a cross to deal with that sin issue in our lives so that we can come unobstructed closer to him. We find rest for our souls in him. Scripture says his burden is light. So that's a good exchange. My heavy pack for that lighter pack, because he then shoulders that load. Now, in order to come closer to God, we need to recognize that worship is so much more than a service. It's more than singing a song. True worship is an expression, an action, an offering. It's really a lifestyle. Worship is how we connect with the God of the universe. And as we draw close to him, he draws close to us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Over and over, Scripture emphasizes the role that we play in stepping into this place of closeness to God. So that when we come together, it's not the beginning of our worship or our connection to God. It's the continuation of that spiritual rhythm that's been happening throughout the week within our lives. There's so much more to worship than the short time that we spend together singing or clapping our hands. The truth is we all worship something. Whether we're a Christ follower or not, you worship something. Worship is directed attention. And we were created by God and pre-wired for it. Kind of like when new homes today come pre-wired for a security system. You may not see it, but behind the walls of most of these homes are the wiring that's needed so that when it's hooked up finally, it will work the way that it should. You and I are pre-wired for worship. And whether we're hooked up to God yet or not, you've still been created for it. And all of us are going to give our attention eventually to something. We're going to give our love to something. Something is going to get our worship. Maybe it's your career, a hobby, money, fitness, or even a relationship. All of us are going to worship someone or something. Now, as a qualifier, I want to say that God doesn't mind you enjoying all of these things. He just takes issue when you place these things above him in that priority list. But none of these things are at the top of my list. I have to keep him there and decide to do that on a daily basis. So my question for you today is, among all the things that you give attention to in your life, is God at the top of that list? Pastor Robert Morris once said, worship is our response to what we value most. When we're giving all of our devotion, our time, our energy, our money, and our passion to something, that's how we'll know what we truly value and worship. And in the end, whatever you worship, you'll begin to imitate. And whatever you imitate, you'll eventually become. So when we worship him, we become more like Jesus. When we worship him, we align our spirit, soul, and body with the one who can balance all three and give us the rest that we need. Now, there's many reasons for us to worship him, but let me just give you a few today when it comes to finding rest for our soul. The first thing is that worship, when we worship him, we worship him for what he is. God is great. He's great, far beyond even our understanding of what greatness is, which in and of itself makes him worthy of our praise. You know, the longest book of the Bible is all about praise and his greatness. The book of Psalms, or Songs, has 150 chapters that are dedicated to this subject. So I think it's safe to say that it's a big deal. It's important to God. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Our limited mind can only grasp the beginnings of how great he truly is. And we see this throughout the Bible. We praise and worship him for who he is. He is the rest we need for our souls. We worship him also for what he's done. You know, in Jesus' day, the religious people mocked the woman who shed tears and cried on and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. They were offended. They were ticked off. She's gone too far. This is horribly embarrassing. Someone needs to shut this down. But I love the response of Jesus. He who has been forgiven much, loves much. She couldn't help but express her love to him. You know what? On Sundays when we come and we worship together, we're not here to put on a show. We've been set free, so we have to shout about it. We have to express it in our praise and our worship. In Luke 19, 37 to 40, it says, "The whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, 'Teacher, get your disciples under control.' But he said, 'If they keep quiet, the stones would do it for them,' shouting praise." I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lose my job to the rocks. I'm going to let my praise be heard. And then finally, we worship him for what he will do. One of the best things I can teach you today as you navigate the challenges of life is that worship changes everything. In the middle of your greatest trial or your darkest day, you need this truth in your soul survival toolkit. It's like those moments when you first hear the news that someone you love is facing a life-threatening situation. And I've had those calls before, and I know some of you have as well. It feels like the spiritual and emotional wind has been knocked out of you until we start to pray and worship. And then something breaks, something begins to lift. You see, when you first hear this news, when you start off, it's like the problem is massive and God is small. But when you begin to worship him, Suddenly, your God becomes massive. Your problems become small. It's this great exchange that takes place. Psalm 18:3 says, I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. He's able to save. Listen, worship works. And you have the opportunity to flip it around every time that we come together as a church family. And whether you come on Sunday or come to your small group throughout the week, if you're coming under the heaviness of circumstance, when we choose to worship him, we can actually leave that place free. Praise holds the power to inspire one another. And worship holds the power to intimately connect us to God and find rest in him. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your Spirit at work within our lives. Today we choose to come closer to you in everything that we do, to find and discover through our worship the rest that our soul needs. That spirit, soul, and body, you would give us that balance, but in our mind, our will, and our emotions, that tiredness we feel today, Lord, we just give it to you. We take a deep breath and we receive that strength that only you can provide. And I pray that wherever we're listening to this broadcast or podcast from, that the Spirit of God would touch you right now in the stillness of the moment that you're in, and he would give you peace, and that you would find rest for your soul as you just lift him up in your life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.